Good morning. Thank you again for joining with us and being with us today online. We appreciate that. Some information I need to share with you as a church is Zach Whitehead passed away this past week. He is the son of Joan and Stu Whitehead. And just want to remember this family as they're walking through these days. The funeral was just last Friday. And we just want you to love on them and remember them in prayer. Also, just want to remind you, as we're processing through reopening, it's just we're looking through all the information. We're making preparations in the building for that day, but we'll keep you informed of where we are in that process. So thank you for your patience with us. Heavenly Father, just be with us today. Open our hearts to your word. Lord, would you be with the Whitehead family and strengthen them and help them, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are, week 5 of this series, Have a Jesus-Filled Life. During these weeks, of course, we have talked about be positive, be grateful, be encouraging, be generous, and today I want to say be enthusiastic. Church, people with enthusiasm tend to influence the environment around them. In fact, I know several people who are incredible at living enthusiastic. But being enthusiastic is about more than just being a happy person or an excited person. It's about having a grip on what real life is about. Let me take a moment and give you the etymology of the word enthusiasm. Of course, the word enthusiasm, as we hear it, indicates an intense excitement. But the word enthusiasm has its root in a Greek word, enthios. En simply meaning in, end, and theos or theo meaning God. So enthios literally means in God or God within. I believe probably the happiest, most interesting people are those who have found the secret of maintaining their enthusiasm, maintaining their life in God, knowing how to have that Jesus-filled life. Imagine your life completely filled with God. So the next time you use this word enthusiasm, you need to understand what you're really saying, because enthusiasm is not just a mood. It's a spiritual result of an intimate relationship with God. We need to be enthusiastic. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. Paul is speaking to the church here, and here's what he says. But thank God. Now, that tells me right there, we want to be thankful. You want to be grateful, and he gives us the reason why. He says, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, would never lose and never forget your enthusiasm over the truth of what Paul just said in that verse. We worship our God because he gives us victory, victory over sin, victory over death, and he does so through our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, to be in God or to have God within gives us victory in our lives. The hymn writer, of course, declared it this way, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Church, today we have victory because of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. He shed his blood for you and for me, and I'm enthusiastic about knowing that truth. I am in God because I know that truth. Listen to what Paul says next in verse 58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. How do we work? We just read it. We always work how? Enthusiastically for the Lord. Remember, who are we working for? We work for the Lord. How do we do it? We do it enthusiastically. Why? Because we know that nothing we do for the Lord is ever useless. Have you ever had one of those moments where you did something for somebody else, and because you were doing it for them, you would work harder than you would for yourself? Like cleaning the house, maybe growing up. Anybody ever clean the house for mom? I mean, to clean the house for me, that's one thing. But to clean it for mom, well, that means, boy, it had to be done right. And you just wanted to work hard at it. As a teenager, I used to mow lawns for a few of our neighbors. And our own personal yard and some of the ones I mowed, it was just like mow it, quickly get done. I mean, it's just grass. But there was this one elderly lady, Miss Sarah Graham. I mean, I would work hard to make her grass look the best it could. And why? Well, she had these pristine flower beds. And her home, well, it was a little house set up on a hill, a little white house up on a hill. And I wanted everything to look the best it could for her. So I worked enthusiastically to make her yard look great. Well, church, really, that's how we ought to work for the Lord. Colossians 3:23 tells us, whatever you do, could you say that with me this morning? Whatever you do. In other words, if you're mowing yards, or if you're waiting on tables, or you're a stay-at-home parent, or you're the CEO or CFO of a company, or maybe you're even leading one of our church small groups, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. That's what Paul says. We need to understand that enthusiasm is really about the posture of our hearts. I'm going to be positive in this negative world. Why? Because I've got my heart postured to be positive. I'm going to be grateful because I understand how blessed I am. I'm going to be encouraging to others because I know that they need it. I am going to be generous because my heart is postured and positioned toward the things of God. And so I am doing the things I do because I am in God and I want to be enthusiastic. We need to let our enthusiasm about God become contagious, especially to those around us. It's like when Paul was in prison and he was chained up. Paul was like, you think this is a bad thing for me being chained up? Well, it's not. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. He says, and because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. Remember when Paul and Silas were in prison, chained up? Paul was still doing church. For whatever Paul was doing and wherever Paul was, whatever he was doing, he still did it for the Lord. Listen to Acts 16:25-34. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. But then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of God to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. That night, that jailer got enthusiastic because God got in his heart. And the enthusiasm of Paul and Silas made an impact because they were working for the Lord. Even when they were in chains, they were in God. This morning, I want to take you back to a character from the Old Testament. I want to look at the spiritual enthusiasm of a little boy who grew up to be king. I want to show you how David started with spiritual enthusiasm, but then he lost it. Maybe some of you had that enthusiasm and one day early on, but you feel like you've lost it just like David. But you want to get it back. Well, let me tell you about it today. I want to start with a well-known story about David and Goliath. If you don't really know the backstory, basically the Philistine army was ready to make war against God's people, the Israelites. And a giant named Goliath would come out and defy the army of Israel. We read it in 1 Samuel 17:10. Then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And this went on for 40 days. But all of Israel's army was too scared to go out and do battle against this giant. But a little shepherd boy named David heard this giant one day as he was bringing food to his brothers who were in the army. And then in verse 26, David says, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Now, not long after he said that, King Saul got word about his boldness and called for David to come in. And of course, they talked about it. And after trying on different armor, which none of it worked for David, and basically because nobody else would fight the giant, King Saul sent David out to fight the giant. Now, I want you to hear the enthusiasm, the in God part of David, because God is going to speak through David in verse 45. Listen to this. David said to that Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Listen to verse 46. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." The enthusiasm of David was not born out of some human strength he had, but it came because of his confidence in God. Now, why was a little boy so confident that God would move? How could David be so full of spiritual, what I'm calling spiritual enthusiasm? Where did David's zeal come from? I believe it came from three things. First, David trusted God daily. The second thing is he walked with God daily. And the third thing was he worshiped God daily. He trusted God daily. He walked with God daily. He worshiped God daily. You ask, well, how did he trust God? Well, as a little boy, when he was taking care of the sheep out in the field, he trusted that God was with him and God would help him protect those sheep. Listen to what he tells King Saul in verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." You see, when David saw the giant, he had already been trusting God. God had already shown himself faithful. And so David is like, God did it once, God will do it again. Basically, David's saying, based on the results I've seen from God, he will be faithful and he will deliver the enemy into our hands. David trusted God daily. But he also walked with God daily. I want you to think about the person who penned the 23rd Psalm. Of course, it was written by David. It's not written by somebody who probably goes to church just 1 hour a week. David wrote this because he was close to God. He walked with God. Listen to it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Church, that kind of statement is the result of somebody who is walking with God. Somebody who is fellowshipping with God daily. But not only did David trust God and walk with God, he worshiped God daily. Do you remember when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of David? The Ark of the Covenant, of course, represented the presence of God. And the Bible tells us that David came in dancing before the Lord. 2 Samuel 6:14 says, David worshiped God and he danced with all his might. I mean, David is putting all his effort into worshiping the Lord, so much so that it embarrassed his wife. And she thought, well, David, you're humiliating yourself. But David did not care. Why? Because David was doing it for his Lord. He was so moved by the presence of God that he worshiped God. Why would David be so enthusiastic? Because he trusted God daily. He walked with God daily. He worshiped God daily. God's Spirit was in David. But a tragedy happened in David's life. David was very enthusiastic and spiritually charged at one point in his life. But as he grew older, he allowed that spiritual fire within him to cool off. I want you to see the two different seasons of David's life. As a kid, David was willing to run into battle. Listen again to 1 Samuel 17:48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, what did David do? David quickly ran out to meet him. Like, charge! David did not wait. He ran toward the battle. And then, verse 49, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling, and it hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. And as David has said, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. because David was willing to run into the battle. Now let me fast forward about 40 years. David is now in his mid-50s. David is no longer a kid. Life is more comfortable as the king. And he has been king now for about 20 years. And this is what we read in 2 Samuel 11, 1 and verse 2. Verse 1, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Now, where was David supposed to be? If it was time when kings go off to war, where was David supposed to be? Supposed to be at war. But he did not run into the battle this time. He stayed home. And this is what we read in verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. The woman's name, we find out, is Bathsheba. And David sees her, and it's like, wow, and he's taken back. And this 50-something-year-old guy is physically stirred. You know what I mean? And so he sends somebody to get her, and then one thing led to another. And it was all because he was not where he was supposed to be. And he saw something he was not supposed to see. And he thought something he was not supposed to think. And he did something that he was not supposed to do. Where did it all start? I don't know, but his heart was not as close to God at this time. You see, as a kid with enthusiasm being in God, David ran into the battle to serve his God. Somewhere along the path, apathy, indifference, something set in. And instead of David running into the battle, now David walks on the roof to serve his own comfort. As a kid, with enthusiasm, he ran into the battle to serve his God. Now with apathy, David walks on a roof to serve his own comfort. I have a question. How did a man with such enthusiasm as a kid lose it as a king? I'm going to tell you what happened. He took his eyes off of his calling and he put it on his comfort. He took his eyes off of the eternal calling and he put it on temporary comfort. He should have been running in the battle. The question really for us today is this: which of those two categories best represent you or me? Honestly, those of you who are followers of Jesus and you say, well, I'm committed to follow Jesus. Are you really ready to run into a spiritual battle with enthusiasm? Are you filled with God? Is God in you? I mean, church, we should be lifting the name of Jesus up. I mean, we should be witnesses everywhere we go. We are filled with God's Spirit. I mean, we should wake up each day with a divine purpose, and everything we do it for the glory of God. Everywhere we go for the glory of God. We work enthusiastically, not for ourselves and not for our own comfort, but in everything we do it to bring glory to the name of Jesus. The question is, are you like that? Or have you slipped into a place where your life is more about you? You want to be comfortable. You don't really want to go into battle. You'd rather walk around your roof and see what you can see. I wonder how many people might actually say, yes, I was enthusiastic for God at one time, but I'm not there now. Well, listen, David struggled with getting to that point in his life. In fact, it took a man named Nathan to open David's eyes. The prophet Nathan confronted David and said, let me tell you a story about a rich guy who took somebody else's lamb, their only lamb. It was a poor guy's lamb, David. And as David heard the story from Nathan, it actually made him furious, the Bible says. And David said, that man should die. And Nathan said to David, you are the man. And it was in that moment that David recognized his sin with Bathsheba. I'm glad, though, that David not only wrote Psalm 23, but he came back and wrote Psalm 51. You can read David's repentance as he cries out to God. In verse 1, he says, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." Down in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David knew it was about the posture of his heart and having the Spirit of God within him. And then two verses later, he asked God for something very powerful. In verse 12, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." You see, David wanted the enthusiasm back. He wanted the strength to stay true to God in his life. He wanted God to be in his life again. He wanted that deeper relationship, and God restored that relationship with David. By the way, it was never God that left David. It was David who had left God. But now David wanted to come home. Listen, enthusiasm is not a product of how we feel. It's a posture of the heart. It's about knowing who God is and who He is in your life. We need our lives filled with God, church. We need to truly live Jesus-filled lives. Why? So we can impact the lives of those around us, our family and our friends. To recognize that we should be a witness wherever we go because we are a Christ follower. And also in whatever we do, because everything we do, we want it to be for the glory of God. Today, I want to pray especially for those who might feel that they're not where they want to be in God. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would draw you back so you can be filled with the Spirit of God and transformed by the presence of God. Today, if you recognize that you don't have that same zeal, that same passion, that same enthusiasm for the things of God that you used to, you can ask God to restore your joy so you can be enthusiastic, so you can be filled with God and have that Jesus-filled life. Let me pray for us today. God, would you fill us with your Spirit? Help us to faithfully be an influence to those around us. Lord, would you help us have enthusiasm for you and your presence? God, I pray that we would be a church full of Jesus followers who trust you daily and walk with you daily and worship you daily. Father, make our homes and our families full of the joy of the Lord. And Heavenly Father, would you grant us a willing spirit to sustain us in all that we do? Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives and in our hearts. Help us to live in God, to live in enthusiasm. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you've not put your faith and your trust in God, you can do that today. In fact, you can do that right now. If you desire to have the eternal joy of knowing that everything is right between you and God, then you just need to call on Jesus and He will hear your prayer. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed and He'll make you brand new so you can live an enthusiastic life. Would you pray this with me this morning? Would you say, "Heavenly Father, forgive me of every sin I've committed. Make me brand new. I put my trust in Jesus today. I trust Him alone to save me. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. So I trust you and I walk with you and I will worship you God, I give you my whole life. Use it for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I welcome you to the family of God? So glad that you prayed that. And tell somebody and get involved somewhere else and continue to grow your life. Church, let's live for Jesus. Let's be enthusiastic. Let's live for God and live with God within so that we can have a Jesus-filled life. God bless you.